Give me another guy that you're thinking about. Keegan was the first.
De'Aaron Fox.
Mm.
What do we expect high level from De'Aaron Fox? We know that's going to happen. But, like, what's the ceiling? Do we feel like De'Aaron shouldn't be a top 10 scorer this year for them to be good? Or do we say, nah, De'Aaron, we want you to do it again and everybody else fall in the line? Because last year was, I wish I had it for 25, I think, 25 and a half.
On the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like 30.
Early.
The first half.
Mm-hmm. He was 26.6.
Okay. On the season.
On the season. 26.6. Do I? Man, I really feel like he can easily be a 27-point per game guy. He took 21 shots a game last year.
Yeah, it felt so. That's the other thing. He got a little. It felt like he got a little inefficient in that second part of the season where things kind of started to. Offensively, they started to decline for him a little bit. Mm-hmm.
His real quick to that point, his third lowest field goal percentage of his career. Only two that were lower were his first 2 years in the league. But he went from shooting 51% the year before to 47%, 46.5.
Okay.
Which actually 47% is probably more so. He's gone, aside from the first 2 years,
yeah.
He went 48, 47, 47, 51, and now 47. So that's about who he's shown to be in the league. The 51 is the one that's anomaly so far. So maybe he was just more of who he was.
What were the three splits last year?
He was 37% from beyond the arc. So he was
in the line.
47, 37, and 74.
74?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
That's got to be 80. I don't think he can do it. I don't know if he can do it, though.
What was his highest one? Was it the year before?
78.
The year before.
Mm-hmm.
He could do that.
And everything else was like low 70s. Mm. 2022-23 was by far the best season of his career. Most efficient. He didn't score the most. He did that last year. But he was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And everything else is about the same, which isn't bad, which is like one of the best point guards in the game. But everything else is about the same. 2022-23 sticks out as clearly his best season. So the question, I guess the question would be, do you think he's going to get back? We think he can. We know he's capable. But do you think he's going to get back to 2022-23, De'Aaron?
I'll be honest, I kind of felt like we might see what we saw at the beginning of last year. My feeling headed into tonight, I think Fox is going for 30 plus. Like, that's what I think we're getting from him. I don't know if it's the start of the season. I don't know. Like, he got hurt somewhere early in the year last year.
Third game when he rolled his ankle,
and that kept him out through the Houston games, right, and all of that.
New Orleans.
Yeah. So. But he came back and was fine.
He
came back and was fine. I kind of feel like I don't know what it is. If it's De'Aaron's approach, I don't know if it's his energy levels. I don't know if it's just the game, because he told us, and there's not really much reason to not believe him. He can go get a basket whenever he wants to. He can get a shot anytime he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
I need him to keep that mentality. Like, I want De'Aaron, and I feel like De'Aaron can show that he's the best player on the floor without question tonight in a Kings uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And he can be in a conversation with Anthony Davis and whoever you feel. I don't think there's anyone else in question. Julius Randle's a great ball player. There's some good ball players on Minnesota for sure. But when you're talking about the two best basketball players on the floor, you're talking about Anthony Edwards and De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And Domas is up there. I think Julius Randle is behind Domas, but that's what you have.
Yeah.
And I think we see that.
I agree. I think De'Aaron Fox is about to have, somebody in the chat says, Gilbert, who said it in the Matthews, he said, I think Fox can force himself into an MVP conversation. I think he can
He's
have.
He's going to have to force himself into an all-star game first, but I hear you, Gilbert. I hear you, brother.
I think he may have that type of season. That not I'm not saying MVP, so to speak, but I think he's going to have a high level season. The team is going to be successful. His numbers are going to be some of the best he's ever had in his career. I think this is the year where everything comes together for him as far as his mental and his physical. He's entering his prime. He is entering his prime, and I think I'm expecting a big season from him. He had 26 a game last year. I think he'll be more along the lines of that, but it might be a little bit more efficient. I think he'll be a better free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. I think he'll go to the line a little bit more, and that could push him up to 27 or so. But I think he's going to have a big season. Big season. How much do you think the contract plays a part and to his performance? And this is different than what we talked about before as far as, oh, he's leaving. Like, we don't think that's an issue at all. Mm-hmm. But is what he could earn by being an All-NBA guy, do you think that plays into his aggressiveness or his approach?
Yeah. Like, how could it not? Like, I feel like I work really hard at this, at everything we do, at everything that has our name on it. Mm-hmm. If someone told me, hey, we got a contract extension for you here, but if you and KC hit certain markers, that contract extension is going to be like twice the amount. I'm going to find a way to work harder to make sure that we get to where we're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know De'Aaron is the most chill dude on the planet. Like, I understand that. And I understand this is just basketball to him and family is bigger. Like, there, to me, I don't think it's something that's at the forefront of his mind to where he's going to do something stupid, where he's going to force stuff. Like, he knows, he knows better than anyone. The accolades come with the winning more than it comes with anything you're doing on the floor.
Yeah.
And he needs to win. I think he can go for 30 plus. I think we can have a conversation about De'Aaron averaging 30 points per game this year. Mm. I think that is a real conversation. If De'Aaron gets out there on the floor tonight and realizes with the way that DeMar moves, what Keegan is doing, Domas, I know it's crazy, being a little bit more aggressive, Kevin getting back to his old self, he'll recognize quickly, it is better for me to be 26-8 than it is for me to be 30-4. And he'll know that quick. And he'll adjust, and that's a game-to-game adjustment that De'Aaron makes. I think it's actually one of the great qualities in De'Aaron Fox, the person, the way that he approaches the game, and it's also one of the maddening ones because there are times where you watch De'Aaron and you go, he's kind of filling this out. Mm-hmm. He's not attacking. LeBron says it all the time. He's getting a feel for this particular game. Whether it's a feel for the team, whether it's just a feel for the moment, whatever it is, you see it. It's very obvious when you're watching. And then there are times where, whether it's he knows the matchup, he's more in on the film, it's 100% the game. De'Aaron's going to, he's busting somebody's ass today. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron's got 13 in the first 9 minutes. Like, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
Like it's a approach that every player doesn't have, but he does. And it's a gift and a curse because there are some times where, you know, Domas, Keegan. Oh, okay. Well, they're not hitting. Then you have a couple other guys. Well, they're not Kevin. No one's making. Okay. De'Aaron, do something. And it'll take him a few possessions and then he'll get going.
Yeah. It's to your point of trying to reach All-NBA to get a potential bigger contract. Like I said, he's a human being. Of course it will. And
rightfully so.
If it didn't matter, then you would just sign the contract. The reason why you didn't sign the contract, one of the main reasons you didn't sign the contract, is because if you take your game up a notch and they win, you could make a lot
more. You want to add $200 million to the contract.
Yeah, so do – part of your part and put the numbers up. And then the other part is the team aspect. And boom, you didn't added a $100+ million. So, yeah, I think it will. But I think he's up for it. I think he's up for it. I'm expecting around All-Star time and towards the end of the season, undoubtedly, the way people talk about De'Aaron Fox in general will be elevated than what it is right now, because the Kings will be a successful team, and he's going to have, I think, a big-time season.
I think a simple way to put this is everything has to do with money. Let's go, baby. We back.
Champ is back.
We back.
The champ is back.
Well, no, the champ's on 98 Rock now.
No, the champ is not on 98 Rock. I let all this stuff go all off season. The champ is right here. It's me. It's Kenny Caraway. I'm the pocket watching champion. Show some respect to your tribal chief in the PWL.
I don't think any of this is accurate. Like, I was here when Abe defeated you. You Yokozuna'd yourself into a lost championship.
I remember. I was there.
Everybody was there.
I was down on the ring. Go get him. Go get him.
That's it.
Go get him, Abe.
That's cap.
What are you? Are you looking for your cheat sheet?
No, it's not. I don't have no cheat sheet.
Yeah, were you studying yesterday?
I have one of the great runs of all time. I'm getting my paper out because this is how we're doing it now, because people thought this was going to keep me from winning. It ain't going to keep me from winning. I'm still cooking.
Did we stairway test this guy this season?
No, we haven't. We haven't. But I figured it's the new season is here.
Well, look, is the exhibition team getting in? Is it?
You want to play pocket? You want to play pocket watchers today? Kyle's playing. Okay,
Kyle, oh boy! Okay. All right. Oh boy! The Oakley Kyles. They're ready to go.
Kyle is in.
He said he's gonna hop in there, so we'll get him on the other screen right now.
Okay, excellent. Kyle Mattson on his way in here for pocket watching. I very literally have to wait for him. So, hang on, everybody. Do you have? Let's get your.
Welcome to the league. Welcome to the league. Welcome to the league. The Oakley Kyles.
Hey, we still need that expansion fee though.
That's real. Well, that's real. The expansion fee might have been the coffee he brought up.
Well, there you go. Or all right. Convince your partner to get the Fortress of Snacktitude back.
Well, gotta get the Fortress of Snacktitude popping.
We gotta get back.
Here we are. All right. We are in here.
I'm so fired up.
First matchup of the 2024-2025 season.
Hold on.
$12.
One second before we start.
$86. It's my warm-up.
Start back. I got to get my rings. Yeah. Got my ring.
Dollars. You're not the champ.
Let's You're go. Let's go, baby.
That's not the
Hey, and this year, we're going to do it again.
What are you doing, bro?
Back to back. Let's go.
He's like Dylan Brooks.
So if you want to hear
standing there staring at nothing.
Pocket watching champion of the world. He's on 98 Rock right now. Let's start out with the newest member of the Sacramento Kings.
Doing Jordan McLaughlin?
Doug McDermott.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, this is serious.
Doug McDermott, the former number 11 overall pick.
Out of Creighton. Big ups.
From the 2014 NBA draft. 10 years of experience for Dougie McBuckets. His peak earnings were in the year 2021 and the year 2022.
That's crazy.
He earned $13.7 million in both of those years. Doug McDermott, the former number 11 overall pick from the 2014 NBA draft, peak earnings were in the 2021 and the 2022 year. Both years, he earned $13.7 million. We are counting his full vet minimum in his Kings contract. We are counting the full vet minimum. Doug McDermott, career earnings are what? Kyle Mattson, we start with you.
We talking? We talking? Are we writing down?
Is there to talk about?
you guys said last year we were writing down.
Oh, yeah,
we're
writing down.
You're right.
Yeah,
my bad. My bad. Okay, I forgot. Yeah.
Look, they try to set me up already.
First of all, I'm going to ask you to lower your damn voice.
You going to let him talk to you like
that? You don't talk to the
Draymond over here.
The Draymond
Carroll. No! No!
And quite frankly.
All right.
No!
Everybody's writing.
Yep, yep.
I need that.
Ready
pen.
To go.
I need the pen and I need the eraser because I have to erase
right,
James's.
God damn it, Kyle.
The Oakley Madsons
expansion team
are off
stinks.
The Oakley Madsons are off to a rough start. Might as well just
hit. I'm ready.
I'm ready right. too.
No, got to wait for the new guy.
No, this is James' fault. I'm not wearing this. No.
Yeah, you know.
No,
the,
I'm
you
not
know,
wearing
we gotta,
this.
We got a break to hit. I didn't think it was going to take 5 minutes. Everybody's writing down their numbers.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready too.
All right,
I'm ready.
All right, we're waiting for the new guy. 10 years for Doug McDermott. Numbers up, everybody. Jesse's got. Jesse, I don't know what that
what is.
That's a 48. It's a 48.
That's what
a
is?
It's a 48.
Okay, Jesse's got 48. KC has got 69 million.
Nice.
Kyle Madsen's got 94.
That feels like a lot for Doug
McDermott. 3 million.
Come on, say it. Say it, goddammit. Say it.
And the winner is at $76.7 million.
Yes, sir.
Kenny Caraway gets his win.
Hey, I'm
of
Boston. I just hit 29 threes. I'm going back to back.
Well,
you know the
what else did he make during his career?
Not much. He made $7.3 million. He made some decent money with the Pacers.
All right, I gave him a bunch of minimums. My bad.
Yeah, I think you gave him. Well, you had to have known after with the 13.7, he had some.
Six after those two seasons. I gave him 10 after his first four.
How much did he make?
76.7.
Dang.
That feels like too much for Doug McDermott.
Wow. It feels like not enough. That's wild.
So Kenny's path to regain the title that he had for all of.
Stop.
I don't know, 90 seconds.
Repeat. You meant to say repeat.
No, this is wrestling.
Regain.
Dame said this is wrestling.
Regain the title. Sir, you are not the champion. I don't know what to tell you.
It's not him.
We'll come back. Matt George will join us here on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Welcome to the
ESPN 1320. Matt George going to join us. The first PWL matchup in the books with Kenny Caraway getting a victory.
Yes, sir. Now, are we going daily or are we going weekly like the NFL or something?
We'll do it when I can remember.
Good call.
Yeah, we'll do it. It's not going to be weekly, that's for sure. But we'll do it when appropriate, when contracts are signed, when money changes, things along those lines.
Real quick. Because Matt George is going to
be with us. Matt will probably be with us in about eight minutes or so.
Okay. I was just going to say because, you know, it's King's Day. The Kings are back.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see with the 49ers that Debo and George Kittle practiced today. At the time of it, now I'm looking at Nick
Wagner. The 49ers have had more wide receivers in the hospital than in the end zone this year.
Sounds about right.
Man.
But no sign of Juwan Jennings, though.
Okay.
Michael Parsons is out on Sunday, too, by the way.
Oh, he's still out.
Yeah, he's still out.
Man, a lot of the times these things happen, and it's not my squad, so I talk crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hypocritical for me not to talk crazy about how this don't need to be on Sunday Night Football. The 3-3 Cowboys? But they feel like they're 3-13 Cowboys against the 3-4.
Are they 3-3?
Well, they haven't played seven games. They had a bye.
Yeah, 3-3, I believe.
Oh, okay. I thought they were 2-4.
Against the 3-4 49ers with all these stars out.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't my team, I'd not be interested at all in this game on Sunday Night Football. Damn. Let's get the dub, though.
Oh, definitely get the dub.
Let's get the dub. So, yeah, Debo.
And you're in the building.
I'm in the building, man. I'm going down to Levi's, man. And let's see. Last time I went down there wasn't a good thing, but can't be any worse than what's going on now. So let me see if I can change the energy. Maybe I'll see Bonte.
Well, good luck with that. Tell Bonte, say what up. Never met him. Never met the guy. Never met Bonte or Butch. Just.
Oh, man.
Bonte called me one day. I bugged out. I was on my way home from Sky River. I was like, is that Bonte? Hello? There's Bonte.
Yeah, man. So let's see the Bronies. Guru might be out there too. Guru, big Cowboys fan.
Guru is a good Guru probably be down on the field with his media pass in a Roger Staubach jersey or something.
Roger Staubach.
His allegiances will be clear when he's out there.
That's my dog, Goo, man. I did champagne and campaign with Goo a couple times, man.
Yeah, I ain't heard from Goo in a little bit.
Hey, busy man.
We'll have to tell Guru about the unfortunate things that happened earlier this week.
We're on his side.
Again, we're not going to celebrate it.
No, just saying that's where we're at.
Jesse kind of mentioned this earlier. You think the Kings should be held to like a higher standard than in years past? Like, and I think this is the crux of Jesse's point earlier, where we were talking about making the playoffs versus winning a series in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Looking at the multiple All-NBA guys, the addition of DeMar DeRozan. You do have a Coach of the Year in Mike Brown. That's often the kiss of death, but it wasn't here. Mike Brown got a contract extension. You have a team that I think most people believe is good. Is the idea of just, hey, go out there and win some games, maybe make the playoffs. Is that too low of an expectation for a team, again, that we think is built really well?
Yeah, that's a great point by Jesse. I have no retort because I'm the guy that was like, they just make the playoffs, it'll be a successful season. Jesse was like, nah, they got more than that. And I don't have a rebuttal. Like, he's right. They have superstar players or superstar caliber players. They've got a big-time vet in DeMar DeRozan. You've got a young and up-and-coming guy like Keegan Murray entering his third year. You've got a guy in Malik Monk who a lot of people believe should have been sixth man of the year. You've got Mike Brown. You've got enough to do more than just get there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he's right about that. He's right. I mean, I still feel how I feel, but I don't have no rebuttal for that. He's right about everything that they have on the roster. It's not a whole – they don't – the shortcomings that we think they have don't seem to be enough that should keep them from being a comfortable playoff team.
What are their biggest shortcomings?
Probably size, you know, defense in the middle of the paint. Some would say defense on the perimeter as well.
How many dominant players are there in the paint? And I'm not suggesting there aren't any. I'm asking how many there are. Because it feels like...
I'd be able to count them on two hands.
I was going to say it feels like less than 10.
And those guys don't always play around the rim.
Right.
You look at Jokic. Jokic is stepping out. Jokic is running the offense.
Jokic is busting your ass on the perimeter.
Yeah. So is Joel. Giannis is a guy, but like I'm not saying don't have defense in the paint, but who's stopping Giannis? Like,
sir, Mason Plumlee.
Well, that's a good point.
Must we forget?
That's a good point.
Our Lord and Savior. He would have saved everything.
But the Mason Plumlees don't grow on trees.
Well, they don't. You know? Well, I mean, actually, Plumlees, I think, do grow on trees, if I'm not mistaken. That's a bad example. I'm pretty sure those guys are everywhere.
Right. But, I mean, the
we need the guys, Malik Plumlee. That's the one we need.
Right. The guys who score in the paint, and I know it's a little simplistic because there's guards who, if you don't have good defense on the interior, can get to the bucket. There's more to it than that. But the guys who score in the paint, that are big guys, are doing that anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not being stopped by anybody. So, yeah, I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine as is in that respect. I also don't think, like, this team, like, this team to be where people want them to be on the defensive end, I don't think they're one defensive player away.
Right.
You know, they're
– well.
I don't think so.
Well, no, but they actually have a couple of good defenders.
That's the other part, right? Yeah, you got two guys that I think have capability to be all defense type guys.
Keegan and De'Aaron.
And then you got another guy coming off the bench who I really do believe has all defensive capabilities, and Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. How many defenders do you need at that level?
Well, but that's the thing, though. We keep saying defenders, defenders, defenders. You don't. You need a defender at that level who can score 25. You need Paul George from a few years ago. Like that, you need Klay Thompson, mm-hmm. the original Klay Thompson. You need that. There's like a couple of those. Like Shea's a good defender, great scorer. Like you need, you have that in De'Aaron, right? Like there, you need someone who can do both. You need, you're basically asking for a dominant two-way player. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple. There have been a couple in recent years, guys where you point out like they're really good on both sides of the floor. Mm-hmm. And that's, bro, you're not going to get it.
Right.
It's not happening. So highlight what you're good at. Mask what you're bad at. And it feels like, based on what we've heard from Mike this preseason training camp, this run leading up to the Minnesota game tonight, it feels like he's leaning more into going back to the great offense that they were mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Obviously, he's still talking about defense. He talked about him after every game that the Kings played this year in which he spoke and was available. Like, he still recognizes this team had some shortcomings guarding the perimeter. This team has some shortcomings when it comes to defense on the inside. But we heard from Domas and Mike, the third pace. I think it was Domas who told us getting back to the pace we played with 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Domas again who told us last year we had to have a meeting. There was we needed to talk about what was going on the offensive end and what was going on with this team and how we can do better. Mm-hmm. And we saw a slight shift in the way that the Kings played following that conversation that Jake tried to get specifics to, and Domas told him to go to hell in a roundabout way.
That's what happened. So, that should have been on starting five.
Oh, that would have been, say, hey, Domas, what'd you guys talk about in that meeting? Oh, it's none of your business. Shout out to Jake. Got to ask.
They would start off with Domas and the B-roll, the voice of Domas saying, yeah, you know, it's a frustrating time for us. And, you know, sometimes you get a little edgy with that. And then they cut to the actual footage. Jake asking the question. Domas said, it's none of your business.
Oh, that's terrific.
But
shout out, Jake.
Shout out to my guy, Jake, man. Get to see him tonight, too. I'm trying to think. It's probably Brandon's first. I wonder if he's
gonna
be in the building.
Might be Brandon's first game. Yeah,
he's gonna be in the building, man. Big ups to him. The other thing about it, talking about the team from 2 years ago, I still contend. I will die on this hill. Mike would even disagree with me. They didn't not make it to the second round because of their defense.
Right.
I thought their defense in the playoffs was fine. It wasn't elite, but it was fine. It was it matched the intensity of the moment, and they were ready to defend. And they always had that stat that year because people were talking about it throughout the year. Oh, your defense needs to be better. Of the fourth quarter, they're like a top 10 defensive rated team, you know, in the fourth quarter of games. And so they were able to turn that up a little bit when it got to winning time. The rebounding is kind of what killed them. That's part of defense to a certain degree. But I don't – you go back to the pace and how they played 2 years ago, that doesn't mean they're just going to be turnstiles on the defensive end. Like, they can still be competitive, be a team that buckles down on the defensive end during winning time, even with going back to a focus of what they do on the offensive end.
I think we see a good defensive effort from them tonight. I'll go a step further. I think we see a good defensive game from them tonight. Mm. I think they, you know, we are, whether you're listening to the chatter or whatever, like, they have expectations for themselves. And not that they didn't have them last year, but a lot of them already lived through the we can't find our footing era. Mm. It went on for an entire damn year. Mm-hmm. I think when you live that, and I know De'Aaron, you know, just dumbed down the simplicity of it all at one night or one day, make a few free throws, guard a little better. We've got like 5 to 6 more wins. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there was a concern like, okay, you guys know what the problem is, but you're having a hell of a time addressing it. Well, now you've had an entire offseason. You've had an entire training camp. You've had preseason games. You've had practices. You've had all of that stuff in an effort to fix that stuff. The league's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. The teams you're going to play tonight is a little bit different. But learn from those mistakes. The core of this group is still very much the same. You've added DeMar, which is dope, but the core of this group is still the same. Mm-hmm. And that should be the group that carries this team to wins. Everything DeMar does should be a bonus.
Right.
Because the core of this group is, it was good enough to get them to the playoffs with Keegan, De'Aaron, and Domas, mm-hmm. and Malik. And HB's a solid dude, solid player. I don't think any of us considered him part of the core. Right. Even when he had, you know, good stretches of basketball, I don't think any of us did. Mm-hmm. So that group should continue to be who we look at. And everything DeMar does should be an added bonus.
I agree. And it should lift your team, DeMar.
Yeah, he's a,
once again, all due respect, he's a better version of Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. More consistent version offensively of Harrison Barnes. And that should elevate your team. We go back to the top 20 games of the season, and the theme that we saw in a lot of those wins was Harrison Barnes having high offensive performances, mm-hmm. and playing at a high level on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
It was up and down throughout the season, and earlier in the party, it was down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got a guy in DeMar DeRozan who, like, we weren't even asking for, like, 30-point games from Harrison. We were like, yo, give us 15.
Yeah.
And he give us 15, and we would get a win.
Yeah.
That's the – to me, I feel like that's the bare minimum.
We had that 15 number somewhere. I don't know where it's at. We had that number where what did the Kings win when Harrison scored? I think it was – I don't remember if the number was 15. It was a pretty absurd number.
Right.
It went a long way. Let's get Matt – where in the world is Matt George? What's up, buddy?
Hey, welcome into our. You guys have been in this room before. It's our green room.
There it is. Yep. Yeah, it's red, but it is the green room.
Yeah. Well, yeah, technical term.
That's fine. What's up, buddy? You good?
With the jersey the Kings gave News 10 because nobody wanted it.
Well, okay.
The classic gold.
It was nice of them. Is it autographed or is it just the News 10 jersey?
No, it's just the News 10 jersey. Said, yeah. Hey, take this.
That was nice of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's old gold jersey. That's good.
We couldn't get one of the black jerseys. You had to get
got to get the gold. It's because News 10 is the gold standard.
Ah, there we go.
Huh?
That's a reach. That's a reach.
Right, look,
we appreciate it.
I'm trying, man.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about all day, and Matt will appreciate this as well, is the start of the 40th season. Is this? I should have checked this. Is this the longest this franchise has ever been in a city? I'm pretty sure it is, huh?
Oh, it's got to be.
40 seasons.
They couldn't have been in Cincinnati or Kansas City for 40 years.
Kansas City, my guess would be 22 years.
Are you just making numbers up?
Yeah, it's just my guess would be 22.
Like, based on what?
It seems like they were in Kansas City for a little
while.
Why?
Did you remember watching Kansas City games on League Pass? What are you talking about?
40 years in Sacramento. They are, I don't want to hear, oh, you know, they're not even original. No, they're the Sacramento Kings. That's who they are, and they're legitimate here.
Matt, what's the number one thing you're looking for tonight?
Oh, man. I'm very interested in just the first 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes, I think, are going to tell us a lot. Are they familiar to the first 5 minutes of the preseason? Is there more on top of what we saw in those first 5 minutes of the preseason? Because D'Lo, like you and I have discussed a number of times now, I feel like that first preseason game was, hey, look at how good we can be offensively. Okay, let's not show any more of that. Yeah. Let's not put any more of that on tape. So I'm hoping to see that, plus an added layer of things that they didn't want to showcase at all during preseason that Jay Triano has drawn up. Plus the implementation of Kevin Huerter, right? The first 5 minutes for Kevin Huerter, I'm really interested to see. Does that first couple of shots, do they drop? Do they go in? And then defensively, like, Do the Wolves do what so many teams did when Kevin Huerter was starting last season and try and isolate him and attack him right out of the gate? Like, that was a very common issue last season. Whoever Kevin Huerter was guarding, and Kevin was never guarding the best guy on the other team, but whoever Kevin was guarding, they tried to get that guy going early. And I have a feeling that's going to be McDaniels tonight. I just kind of trying to figure out, you either can put him on Conley or McDaniels, essentially, assuming Keegan is on Anthony Edwards. You're sure as heck not putting Kevin Huerter on Anthony Edwards. So do the Wolves, whoever it is, Conley or McDaniels, do they look to try and have those guys attack and isolate Kevin right out of the gate? Or do they intentionally try and force a switch to try and get a mismatch with Kevin on Rudy Gobert or something? Like, do they try and isolate Kevin defensively right out of the gate? I'm very interested to see that.
Well, real quick, I got to retort to that. But they were in Cincinnati for 14 years. They were in Kansas City for only like 11 years, 11 or 12 years.
That's not a retort. You just answered your own question.
So what Matt was just talking about, I wanted to say something to that, but before I forgot,
Two different statements. Got you.
This is by far, like not even close, the longest they've ever been in one
place. Do you feel better?
I do.
Okay, good. That's all that matters to me.
I had to figure that out. My thought to that, Matt, which is a legitimate concern, is if they want to start isolating those guys instead of Anthony Edwards, by all means, do what you need to do. Like, if you want to be like, hey, Conley, go pick on Kevin Huerter. All right. Fine. Not that he's not a good ball player, but what that does is that keeps the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands. It keeps the ball out of Julius Randle's hand. And I think what they might do, though, is they might try to get him in the action when Anthony Edwards has the basketball. So if Keegan is guarding him, they run a small-to-small pick and roll to try and get the switch, and now Ant-Man is taking advantage of Kevin Huerter that way. But if they want to just worry about the matchups, like, I'd put Kevin Huerter on Jaden McDaniels. And if they want to say we've got an advantage there, well, you probably do. You want to give him the ball all night, fine. Do that. And that's how I would play the game with them. You know what I mean? They'd have their own strategy to it as well. But if they want to be more worried about trying to hunt out Kevin Huerter, fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see what you're saying, KC, but this isn't a theory. This is what happened last season, and it worked consistently against Sacramento. And it's not that they're not going to go to Anthony Edwards for a full 48 minutes, but if the Timberwolves decide to get McDaniels or Conley or whoever Kevin Huerter is guarding going to where they have a success in the first 5 minutes, so that it doesn't have to be Anthony Edwards scoring 45 or 50 to give the team a chance. Like, that was a consistent issue for Sacramento last year. And I'm not trying to pick on Kevin at all. This is, and it's not really a fear of mine more than it is a curiosity, right? Because this was a curiosity even going back to last season, is if Kevin's going to be out there, we know the offensive upside. We know he has to hit shots. Hitting shots is his meal ticket. If Kevin Huerter is hitting shots at the rate that he was hitting in let's say 40%+, if Kevin Huerter is hitting 40%+ of the threes, assuming he's going to get the open looks that we believe he's going to get from playing with DeMar and De'Aaron and Sabonis, then you live with the defense, right? Because he's that good offensively and he's that important for you offensively. But if he's not hitting shots and continuing to be isolated like he was last season, if Jalen McDaniels gets going early on and scores 7 of the Wolves' first 11 points in the opening 5 minutes of the game because they're isolating Kevin Huerter and going at Kevin Huerter, unless the Sacramento Kings are scoring on a higher pace, I'm not feeling good about that, because 7 of the first 11 points or whatever are coming from a guy that isn't normally an offensive weapon for them. And you know Ant Edwards is going to get his and do his thing too. To me, it's always when you're playing a team with a star to the level of Ant Edwards, it's try and make life as difficult for them as possible, but don't let the other guys beat you. And far too many times, Kevin was guarding the other guy, and that other guy was having success because teams were intentionally trying to make that happen early on. So again, it's not a pick on Kevin Huerter thing. It's a, let's see if opposing teams try to pick on Kevin Huerter thing, because it was common last year.
Do you and Mike ever talk about how much you hate Kevin Huerter together?
I love Kevin Huerter, truth be told. I think when Kevin, I said this on the podcast yesterday, if Kevin Huerter is making shots, he's quite literally perfect for this group. He's perfect. He's everything you need. He's someone who can catch and shoot, and he's said he's looking forward to more catch and shoot opportunities this season because of the guys that he's playing with now, instead of all the shooting off of the curl and shooting off of DHOs like he primarily did his first two seasons. But you can always go back to that and revert to that when you need a big bucket or you're trying to run an opposite set. If Huerter is out there shooting threes, he's a good to great enough three-point shooter to where he's constantly going to force the defense into a very, very difficult decision.
So right?
You're going to have to – sorry?
I joke about Mike and Kevin and you and your breakdown of Kevin, but are you surprised that it is in fact Kevin Huerter and not Keon Ellis?
Yes, I am. I am surprised. Now, the one thing that's encouraging for me is that neither Kevin or Trey are on minutes restrictions. So the fact that both of them, but especially Kevin, is back, no minutes restriction, and back in the starting lineup suggests that he's as close to 100% as you can get. Now, Kevin's not saying like the shoulder is no longer a factor. In fact, I asked him about that at practice yesterday, and he said, no, the shoulder, it'll constantly be like talked about and worked on and things like that. It's not like it never happened. But if the Kings feel confident with no minutes restriction, putting Kevin Huerter right back out there, and this is the first action he's gotten in 6 months, since like March 18th or something like that, and he's good to go, like that suggests to me, and the same thing with Trey with not having a minutes restriction, that these guys are ready and can handle the normal load as if they were participating in all of training camp and preseason. So I'm encouraged by that. But we haven't seen Kevin Huerter for 6 months. Mm-hmm. We didn't see him at all during preseason. He didn't get a single second of preseason action with these guys. He's gotten 5-on-5 action, I'm sure, with the starters. So he's gotten that kind of familiarity. But we know that's not the same thing. So, I mean, we're talking like game one, important game against Minnesota, and this is the first he's getting back out there, and you're putting him out there. And again, there's inconsistencies with how Mike talks and the actions that Mike takes. To where Mike talked so much last year about defense, 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 and the importance of defense, and Keon seems like a Mike Brown guy. Yeah. But going in the direction of Kevin Huerter, plus all of the moves that the Kings have made this offseason, go in the route of Monty McNair's offensive vision for this team. So I'm not trying to suggest that there's a disconnect between Mike and Monty of how this team is supposed to go. But I think all signs point to getting this team back to a high level offensively is the top priority. And Kevin being back probably gives them their best chance to execute in that way.
I got a question for both of you guys, but I think I'm sorry. I've got the Wizards pregame on in front of me. You guys have to see how they came out of the tunnel. This is nasty work. So look, this is the in arena thing. Look, coming out of the tunnel. Look at all those people.
Oh God. Oh no. For though there's nobody there. Is that real? There's nobody there. Oh, that's tough. Come on. That was in Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They came out with the flag. Oh, man.
No.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough. Anyway.
Oh, that was bad. That is not okay.
Anyway, we talk about Kevin
Huerter. Lost to that team.
Yeah, they did. They didn't name whatever other team out there you talk about, except for the Lakers. They lost to them, too. We talk about Kevin Huerter and him being ready to play and just getting back into the groove of things. One question that we haven't really asked, I want to ask both of you guys. Either one of you guys worried about Malik Monk starting off the season? Matt. One of the things that jumped out to me that James said, and I think they talked about, is he didn't get a chance to play that much in offseason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I say worried about him, not him overall.
Slow start, trying to get back into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we saw some of that in the preseason when he played. Aside from the first half of that first game, he struggled. Mm-hmm. He struggled mightily. So, is there any – I'm not going to lie, there's a little concern for me about how he starts off the season, is how long it's going to take him to get back into the groove. But maybe it's just me. What you think, Matt?
Yeah, I actually haven't thought about that, Kenny. And I think it's because I'm hanging my hat so much on the way he played in that, like, what was it, like 8 or 9 minute stretch of the first preseason game before he left the game for personal reasons and was out for the next handful of days because of his personal reasons. He looked normal, mm-hmm. right? He played normal. He looked like nothing had happened. He was making his patented Malik Monk kind of circus shots. He was shooting the ball pretty well. He was playing with that energy, kind of that pep to his step. So I kind of took that and I said, I saw what I needed to see out of Malik in preseason. Mm-hmm. The Utah game, he shot terribly, and you could tell he was clearly very frustrated by it. I think that was when he came out of the game in the fourth quarter after being like 1 of 13 or something, and like kicked the towel in frustration. So, but I didn't attribute that to anything other than Malik was having a bad night, and Malik holds himself to such a high standard that he was frustrated that he just wasn't hitting shots, that he, like the rest of the team, was having trouble from anywhere beyond like 15 feet. So I haven't thought about it, KC, in that kind of way at all. And I can't say I'm overly concerned about Malik, because everything else that we've seen of Malik in camp when he was there talking with him, there was nothing to suggest that there was anything wrong or out of the ordinary. And he was his lighthearted self in practice from what we saw again yesterday, working with he was talking with Keon a lot as they were with the bench unit. And they were smiling and laughing and chatting with each other. So there's nothing about Malik's demeanor or really anything about the way he's played. Sure, he's struggled, but so many guys have, that has me noticeably concerned, if that makes sense.
No, I got you.
Yeah, if you're concerned
but
about
the Kings need him for sure. If he's not 100, if he's not ready to go, or he's not playing at his best, the Kings are going to have a hard time with that second unit.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're concerned about Malik, you got to be a little concerned about Kevin and Trey, no? Maybe yeah. Less Trey, because he wasn't that long ago that he played basketball. But Kevin, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought about the question, because we were just talking about, like, Kevin's going to need some time to possibly get into the groove. So somebody in the chat said, you know, I think tonight Malik is going to feed off that energy. He's a vibes guy. He's an energy guy. It's going to be up, all the way up, and to go to one seed tonight. So I think he'll be ready to play tonight, opening night for sure.
Okay. And then he'll be up versus the Lakers, but when he plays the Portland Trailblazers, it could get rocky.
Yeah.
It could get rocky. Matt, this is your worst nightmare. We discussed over on Locked On Kings, the Timberwolves did, in fact, lose their home opener, or their season opener, excuse me, against the Los Angeles Lakers. That was also on the road, and you did not want that scenario to play out, but here we are.
Yeah, in true Matt George narrative fashion, I'm a little concerned about that. I have a hard time believing, and regardless of teams and context, it's not unheard of, but if you were to tell me, hey, Matt, a week ago, Matt, the T-Wolves are going to start the season 0-2, I would have told you I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think that was possible. Like, just some teams with the expectations the T-Wolves have, teams on that level, you have a hard time imagining, okay, they drop the ball in game one, they're not going to get right in game two, right? And it's certainly possible. And of course, it all depends on how the Sacramento Kings play tonight too. But here's what I saw in game one in LA that I don't expect tonight. I don't expect the Timberwolves to be nearly as sloppy with the basketball as they were in game one. Mm-hmm. If they are, the Kings got to take advantage. And that's one area that the Kings were really good in preseason, is they forced a lot of steals and they got out in transition. Mm-hmm. So the Kings should definitely be trying to exploit that. But Mike Brown talked about the Timberwolves in practice yesterday. The first thing Mike Brown brought up is their size. He's like, yeah, they got size. And they didn't play well, but they still had a chance to win that game. We know size consistently bothers the Sacramento Kings. I expect, with the growing pains that both teams are going to have, I expect Julius Randle to look a little bit better. I also expect the Minnesota Timberwolves defense to look better than it was, because that was their calling card last season. Their defense was not good against LA. So I expect a better version of the Timberwolves tonight. That being said, I expect the Sacramento Kings to be better than the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Kings being better than the Lakers, hopefully will be able to handle a better version of Minnesota. But like we talked about on the podcast too, D'Lo, and we've mentioned a number of times on the show, that's why I think even though you're trying to incorporate new guys and get guys back from injury, striking early is so important for the Sacramento Kings, because these juggernaut teams in the West and these juggernaut teams around the league, whether they're battling with injuries, reintroducing new guys, or simply just slowly ramping up, this is the time to try and jump on some of these teams. So I hope the Kings do tonight.
We got Purple and Black pregame coming up next, and then football after that. That's next on Sacramento Sports Leader. Big thanks to Matt George here on ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings!